From the Squamish Chief.
This is the Squamish Sound. I'm Keely Bartlett.
And I'm Stephen Chua. This is the 26th episode of our weekly podcast.
You'll hear the story behind the story as we take you into the newsroom. We'll talk about what did and didn't get into the newspaper this week.
On the show today, we're covering Squamish fighter Coltrane. That's Cole Smith the Coltrane getting ready for his match on home turf ground in the UFC this weekend. Also, we're talking about the difference between a paraglider and a base jumper, coming as we have just covered a recent base jumping incident. And our editor talks about Emily Carr again, and a little bit more about that incident. So first off, Cole Smith, he is a local mixed martial artist fighter. It's going to be a very big weekend for him. This Saturday, he is going to be competing in the UFC. It's going to be his second UFC match, but it's going to be the first time it's on home turf. He's going to be in Rogers Arena, and we got a chance to talk to Cole a little bit about how he's getting ready, what his plans are, what he's feeling. So let's just hear him out.
What do you think about Miles Johns, your opponent? Have you scoped him out, and what do you think of him as an opponent?
I scoped him out. I was in Las Vegas, actually, and I went to the Contender Series, and he was actually fighting that day, and I watched him fight live, and he looks like an explosive, good, athletical, good athlete. I feel like I have kind of fought his style before, which means nothing. You know, everybody brings their own skill set, but he's kind of a shorter, stockier wrestler with good hands. I feel like I've fought those guys before. Whereas finding someone who fights like I do, it's a lot harder. You don't really find guys who move like me or who are as tall and rangy as I am. So, it's going to be a good fight. He's tough. He's going to be a good fighter, but I'm going to be tougher and I'm going to be better.
When you're dealing with that type, like a stockier wrestler, good hands, what kind of approach do you take?
Every fight's different, I like to stay at range. I like to kick a lot. I like to move and just kind of be longer and taller and just keep touching them. Bop, 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 move. Bop, 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 move. You know what I mean? Not really sitting in the pocket for too long trading punches. Mostly just kind of keeping him at range, with long front kicks and long kicks.
So, for people that don't watch a ton of MMA, there are lots of different styles which you can go for because it encompasses a variety of different fighting techniques. And like very broadly speaking, if you were to boil it down really, 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 really simply, it would be ground fighting and stand-up fighting. So basically what Smith is saying is that this guy that he's going to be approaching is primarily, he has a wrestling background. So generally speaking, wrestlers are very good on the ground. They can take people down and they can just sit on them for the entire fight and just laugh. So Cole is saying basically the antidote to that is to use his reach to be able to keep him at a distance and keep on peppering him with hits so that fighter, his opponent, can't get in real close and use his strength, which is wrestling, getting in on the ground. So that's one thing to look for. But at the same time, Cole has also been saying he's no stranger to a ground game now. He has been working on his game in that area.
Yeah, I'm evolving like crazy. I just started working with another jiu-jitsu coach, Hayden Francis, and the guy is just unreal. He's really taken my game to the next level. So I'm excited to show some new moves out there.
And if there's one aspect to your style that you want to evolve and change and build upon, what would that be?
Definitely finishing my chokes from the back. I seem to get a lot of people's back. I seem to always end up on people's backs, but I wasn't quite sure of all the details. When you're on the right side, you can attack with this way. When you're on the left side, you can attack on this side. But with Hayden, he's been showing me all the different variations, and I've just been landing chokes over and over and over again. So That's something I've been really working on.
So Cole is going to be fighting September 14th this Saturday at Rogers Arena. The show starts at 5 p.m., so he will likely be fighting within a couple hours of that because he will be one of the opening fighters. So stay tuned, and we will be keeping you in touch with how Cole fights.
I'm expecting all 20,000 people from Squamish to be down there cheering for me. I can't thank Squamish enough for all the support they've given me and everything that they've done for me.
Moving on to a different kind of Squamish sport.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be talking about the difference between base jumping and paragliding.
Okay.
So this is coming up because somebody who's doing one of the two was stuck briefly on a street lamp hanging by her parachute.
Wow.
Yeah. So that happened on the 10th earlier this week along the highway. So a lot of people contacted us after we posted a story about this incident. Because originally we reported that it was a paraglider.
And
as it turns out, that wasn't correct.
Oh, really?
So, yeah. So we'll talk a little bit about how you can tell from the photos that people sent us that it was, she was actually base jumping.
Okay. That's interesting because in my mind, that would probably be a hard thing to do because towards the end of a base jumper's jump, they probably look very much like a paraglider when they deploy their chute.
Right, because technically they both have parachutes that are in place at least for landing. But when they launch, that parachute is very different. So base jumping, they have those little suits that they wear.
Yes, the wingsuits.
And they glide for much shorter periods of time, whereas paragliders will be up in the air for much longer. And they open their parachute before they've even taken off. The paraglider I spoke to described it as you step off, you don't jump.
Yeah.
Whereas a base jumper, jumping is in the name.
Yeah.
And so first of all, it starts with when they open the chute, whereas in the photo that we have online and soon to be in the newspaper, there is this little box that you can see, and that's what a base jumper will throw to launch their parachute when they're ready to land.
Right.
And another way that you can tell looking at the photo that this is not a paraglider is that the way that a paraglider is attached to the parachute would be closer to the hips. So it would make it look like they're sitting down, whereas this person is hanging straight down with their arms at their sides. So that's because the attachment is at their shoulders.
Ah,
so it's holding them up like that.
Okay.
And then, so this was all from a conversation with Tyler Giles. Not sure if I'm pronouncing that correctly, but he is the president of the West Coast Soaring Club. So he said that the person who's in the photo also appears to be wearing a tracksuit or a wingsuit, which is something that base jumpers would wear, but paragliders wouldn't. Paragliders would wear, he said, much more skin-tight clothing because they aren't trying to get any drag, whereas base jumpers or anyone doing some kind of speed kiting would be looking for a little bit of drag to swoop them farther away from where they launched from, whether that's a ledge or a mountaintop. They want to get away from that area, so they need some kind of drag from our conversation.
Right.
And then there's also the parachute itself. So he said that the parachutes used for base jumping have to be built differently because you're using it for a much shorter period of time and it has to be much more reliable. It has to be able to work instantaneously, right?
Or else, yeah.
And so it has larger and fewer cells on the parachute. So that's how you tell the difference between a base jumper or a paraglider when you are able to see the gear, and that's how we know now.
Okay, we're going to our editor's pick where we bring in our editor, Jennifer Thuncher. She's here to tell us what her thing of the week or things.
I like how this has evolved. She's going to say something.
Words into the microphone and we will listen. So, Jen, what's going on?
Okay, so first an update on what we talked about last week. We were talking about Lori Carter, the author who is coming to Squamish October 3rd, I believe, to speak about Emily Carr. And we mentioned the story about Emily Carr going up to Lillooet and then ending up needing a cop and having a convict help her to shoot her lame dog. So we wondered out loud at the end of our last podcast why the convict was with the cop. So Lori emailed me and filled me in and said that it was a fellow who was in the drunk tank.
Okay.
And he was brought along to dig the dog's grave.
Oh.
And now you know.
Jeez. You drink a little too much, you could wind up digging graves for canines. Let this be a lesson to all of you.
Yes.
That's how they handle justice in Lillooet.
No, we're going to get in trouble for that. No, this is a long time ago. This is in the whatever hundreds.
Okay.
Okay, so on to a more serious topic.
Right.
Yes. So this week we had a situation that I thought it would be worth quickly bringing up. For our listening public, we had a situation where we had someone from the public call us, and several people called, came in, and said a paraglider had been stuck on a lamppost.
That was a big one.
It was a big one.
That exploded all over social media for a while.
Yes. Thankfully, the woman, I think maybe was a little embarrassed, but shouldn't be. She just hung there a bit until the fire department brought her down. But what was a bit troubling to me, being as the editor, is that so the public called us and notified us that it was a paraglider.
Okay.
So we saw the pictures. You and I are not paragliders, for shame. I don't know how we can live here and not do these sports. Keely is also not, the reporter who handled the story. So we checked in with the usual officials. Some people were pressuring us, you know, this has happened. Why are you guys not talking about it? But we held off because, as we always do, we wanted to check with officials that it happened the way we were being told and that the person was all right. Because you don't want to have sort of a humorous look at it if, or, you know, if she had been hurt, it would have been a different story is what I'm trying to say.
And the officials here you're talking about are generally like first responders.
First
like
responders, the district, police, the usual people who would go to such an event.
In this case, Squamish Fire Rescue.
In this case, it was Squamish Fire Rescue. So from my understanding, you know, Keely sent off an email and said this was a paraglider. We looked at the photos. We ensured that, in fact, this incident had happened, that the person was all right, that the person had been brought down. We checked to make sure who was involved of those that you just mentioned, the different first responders. And then we went live with the story. And pretty quickly, we had a couple people say, basically, you guys are idiots. That's not a paraglider. And so that's the part I wanted to address, which is we never claim in media, nobody does, to be absolutely flawless and perfect. We're human beings. We don't do all sports. We don't know. What we do make sure is that the facts of the story that matter, so that this person was in the situation and that we've checked with the appropriate people. We can't always know every single detail. And what we need is what eventually happened, which is someone who does paraglide, who is willing to go on the record, use their name to say, look at, you know, I think what you went over with Keely, look at ABC, and this is what you can look for in the future. So now we know. But I just thought it was worth mentioning that it's more since Trump, really, that people jump all over us as if we just willy-nilly threw up a photo and got something wrong. It's never our intent, but it happens. And if you do see something that you know for sure, 100% is inaccurate, call us up. And the sign of a good paper, say the New York Times or a lot of the community papers or us, is the responsible thing to do is to look into it and adjust. Not to never, ever, ever, ever get a single thing wrong.
The Squamish Sound is brought to you by the Squamish Chief. The music for this episode was produced by Stephen Chua, cover photo by Clayton Matthews. Have a story tip? Give us a call at 604-892-9161. Send an email to news@squamishchief.com. You can read these stories and more online at squamishchief.com, the newspaper, and have the news delivered to your door every week.